8 a.m. having arrived, I'm going to call the committee taxes to order. There is not a quorum right now. A couple quick announcements before we proceed is if you go onto the tax committee website, there is a survey that folks can go onto to give their comments regarding improving the tax system. So, and there's, if you go on there, you can see where there's a little paragraph talking about, we don't want to just know if taxes are too high or too low. You certainly can mention on that. But it's looking at how to make the system simpler, more transparent, more accountable, more efficient. And so Chair Davids and I sent out a press release on that. So hopefully there's some information. And then as we, after about a month here, as we get more, we will take a look and pick a few of those ideas out and put them into a bill that we'll give a hearing on. So, you know, talking about ideas directly from the kitchen table to the committee table. So anyway, you might want to check that out. And I actually went on there and already filled out my survey. So they have my input right now. And then second, you know, there was some discussion yesterday on, you know, can we bring up education? Can we bring up health care and all that? I think that's more than appropriate in the tax committee, especially when you're talking about, you know, the dollars that are raised or not raised in tax committee impacting investments that can be made or can't be made in education and health care and all these other areas. So if you start talking about the formula of the sparsity factor in education, I may reel you in. That may be going above and beyond the scope of the committee, but anyway, that's part of the tax committee. So we do have a quorum. And would anyone, we've got the March 6th, 2019 minutes. Would anyone care to move those? Representative Carlson moves approval of the March 6th, 2019 minutes. Any discussion on that? Seeing none, I will call for the vote on the March 6th, 2019 minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. The motion does prevail, and our minutes are approved. So, first bill on the agenda, Representative Schultz has House File 1829. Representative Schultz, would you care to move House File 1829?
Yes, I will move House File 1829 to be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Very good. Thank you. Please proceed.
So this bill, House File 1829, tries to make it more consistent and fair in how we treat managers of mutual funds and their business income. So currently in state law, we tax the business income of mutual funds that are incorporated as a corporation based on the level of wealth or assets that are managed based in Minnesota of the shareholders. But if you are a partnership or an individual in a pass-through mutual fund situation, you are not taxed on your business income in Minnesota. It's based on where you're domiciled in that state. So other states could be benefiting more than Minnesota, and we just want to make it a level playing field. This was in Governor Dayton's tax proposal, so I guess that means that Representative Davids had had it in a bill with this in it, because you carried Governor Dayton's bill. So I think this makes good sense for Minnesota, and for changing two words in our statute, it brings in about $6.3 million in 2020, and by 2022, $12.5 million in additional revenue for the state of Minnesota. So it's a good bill. I urge support for this bill.
Before I call on members, I'm going to ask the audience, is there anyone here that would like to testify for or against House File 1829? Members, any comments, thoughts?
Is this enforceable?
Is it enforceable?
Representative Carlson.
Sure, just so I understand this, the references to mutual funds, and there's also like tax-sheltered annuities, deferred comp plans, do we have the same issue with those other kinds of investment vehicles? Just an inquiry. I just don't know how this interacts between other investment types. You know, as public employees, for example, as legislators, you can participate in the state deferred comp plan, and you have different options there. Teachers, you know, tax-sheltered annuities, people in various government employment have those kinds of options. So perhaps the author knows, or maybe staff knows. I'm just curious. I don't know how all that interacts.
Mr. Clayman, could you enlighten us a little bit on that?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, so this bill, just to sort of recap, this bill is related to how sales of management services are apportioned to Minnesota, and those would be sales of management services to the fund. So federal law actually separates the actual fund, the pooled money from the managers who sell services to the fund to, you know, do things like pick the stock, securities, et cetera. As far as the investment companies that this bill would cover, it's mostly mutual funds. There may be a few hedge funds that would be included in the federal definition, although most of them have an exemption, and it would include ETFs as well. Otherwise, that's all this bill is covering. So I guess with respect to, like, the deferred comp plan, you know, I guess the question there would be, you know, is there I guess the other thing to mention about this, too, is that if you have a member of a pass-through business that's a resident of the state of Minnesota, they'd be taxed on their worldwide income. So we're really just talking about non-resident pass-throughs. So the question in the scenario Representative Carlson mentioned is, you know, number one, do you have a non-resident pass-through who's taxable that's making a sale to a fund that would be covered that would then have to be apportioned to the state? As far as the specifics of, you know, other types of investments, I'd have to look into that to see how that's treated under state law. But that's sort of the general parameters of how those questions would be decided.
And Mr. Chairman, I don't want to belabor it, but, you know, for example, when I was actively teaching, we had the option of a tax-sheltered annuity if we wanted to invest in it. And on the face of it, it looks very much like a mutual fund. You could make that purchase through various private companies. In my case, I did that through our local credit union, and they had different options, but they were private. When I mentioned the deferred comp plan with the state of Minnesota, that's managed by the State Board of Investments, so that's probably a little bit, I'm trying to remember to talk into the mic here. I got the note the other day that I needed to do that. So I was just, you know, we were talking about level playing field, you know, and it's been 20 years since I retired from teaching, so I, you know, not actively involved in any TSA plan, but I was at one time. And like I say, on the face of it, it looks very much, when you buy into it, looks very much like a mutual fund. Same, you know, you make the same kinds of selections. It's under a different section of law because it's a tax-sheltered annuity, and then you, of course, pay taxes on it when you have to at age 70 and a half. You have to begin to draw it out. But we're talking here about the sales and income and how it's incorporated and what have you. So I'll just stop there. Maybe at some point, if this moves forward, we can find out if it does impact or perhaps should on other forms of investment.
Good point, Representative Carlson. Chair Davids.
Thank you. And to Chair Carlson's point, a TSA could be invested in a mutual fund if it's a variable. So you could have that.
All right. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair. I'm sorry. Mr. Chair.
I know the difference.
Yeah, these are here. I'm sorry about that. Representative Schultz, will this add any more complexity to record keeping and anything for those that have many mutual funds, some out of state and in state, or is this kind of what's being kept track of now, so it's not really an issue?
Representative Schultz.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I'm not on the individual shareholder. So for the fund manager that's providing the services, it could possibly mean more record keeping for them, but not for the individual shareholder of the mutual fund.
Representative Petersburg.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you. It just seems like it is adding more complexity, and we just had a survey trying to make things a little simpler, and so just food for thought. Thank you.
Any other questions? If not, closing comments, Representative Schultz.
Well, this was the easiest bill I think I presented in tax committee, so thank you, members.
Representative Schultz renews her motion to lay over House File 1829 for possible inclusion into the tax bill. Thank you very much. Representative Loeffler.
Good morning, members.
Good morning, Representative Loeffler.
I would like, and Mr. Chairman, I would like to move House File 1822 for consideration in the tax bill, and I have an A1 amendment.
Please move the A1 amendment.
I would like to move the A1 amendment. The underlying bill deleted some references to domestic international sales corporations, DIFs, which we thought had mostly disappeared, but we found there might be a few tucked away somewhere in Minnesota, so we're going to keep it in the law.
Very good. So Representative Loeffler moves the A1 amendment. Is there any comments on the A1 amendment? Seeing none, I will call for the vote on the A1 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. The motion does prevail. The A1 amendment is adopted. Representative Loeffler, two-year bill is amended.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I think our general sense in taxes that people who earn money and have economic success share that with the society that has helped ensure that success, and that if companies have income, they contribute proportionally to their profits in a fair way to support our state. And current law right now allows for some corporate income to go untaxed at the state level. And the situation is where right now we're in single sales apportionment. So we tax corporate sales when they happen within our state. And but if we sell to the federal government, so it's not associated with any state, it doesn't get state taxed anywhere because we're not sure what state those goods might ultimately land or services. And we also can have companies who arrange to have some of their sales organized in a way into states that won't tax it. And so we end up with some profits by Minnesota companies not being taxed anywhere. And so that's another new term for us to think about. It's called nowhere income. And I think all of us look forward. When I first heard that term, I thought, wow, I kind of feel like nowhere income is when I find that surprise $20 bill in a pocket or something. But this is that same sort of thing where we have sales that somehow slipped through the process, took advantage of the gap, and now we want to bring them back in so that all companies in Minnesota are treated fairly. Because right now, companies that don't have these sorts of customers are paying taxes on all of their sales, where other companies that do a lot of business with the federal government or with selected states that don't tax those sales really have an advantage in really having some of their significant parts of their income not taxed at all. And so I think this is a basic fairness proposal. It's often referred to as a throwback rule, another new term, and that is where because those sales to the federal government or to states where they're not taxed would be thrown back to the state of origin, the place where the services and the sales began and where the products were created or the services initiated. And so, Mr. Chairman, this would, I think, increase fairness in our taxation of businesses across the state of Minnesota. And with that, I and perhaps the House Research will respond to any questions.
Okay, so there are three testifiers for sure that are on the list. I'd like to take those first, if we could, Representative Loeffler. So, Mr. Patrick, And then Ms. Larson and Ms. Cadu.
Who are you?
Welcome. Good morning. And please state your name and begin your testimony.
Mr. Chair, members, Bobby Patrick. I am the Director of Government Relations for Medical Alley Association. This past year, the Medical Alley Association Board of Directors convened working groups composed of healthcare leaders from all sectors to put together a 10-year vision with the goal of Medical Alley being recognized as the global epicenter of health innovation and care. These working groups concluded that in order to realize that vision, there were four major challenges that needed to be addressed. One of these was that Minnesota must provide a business environment that attracts investment and increases opportunity for health technology and care organizations to succeed. We are concerned that this bill will place Minnesota on the opposite trajectory. This legislation would raise taxes on companies who make sales of tangible property originating in Minnesota and whose customers are the U.S. government or states where the company does not have a nexus. Two key facts contribute to our concern here. First is Minnesota's very high corporate tax income tax rate, which at 9.8% is among the highest in the country. Second is Minnesota, as Representative Loeffler referenced, uses single sales apportionment for the corporate income tax. This has created an incentive for companies to be located and invest in Minnesota without penalizing them for doing so. Because Minnesota has one of the highest state tax rates, many impacted companies would actually be better off if they voluntarily agreed to apportion their income and pay tax to other states despite not having nexus. This is because that would bring down the average effective state tax rate down to a number lower than Minnesota's. Minnesota will be no better off. States outside Minnesota would reap the benefits, and Minnesota companies, including hundreds of medical innovation companies, would be the losers and eliminate another reason to locate in Minnesota. In conclusion, we are concerned this bill will disincentivize existing companies from continuing to invest in Minnesota property and people and serve as an obstacle to companies locating here. Thank you.
Very good. Any questions for Mr. Patrick? Very good. Thank you. Ms. Larson, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Jill Larson with the Minnesota Business Partnership. I want to echo the comments made by Mr. Patrick. I think folks understand the concept. We do oppose the proposal in large part because we think it negates the benefit of our current apportionment system, which has been referred to as single sales, where companies are taxed based on their sales in Minnesota. We don't think a company's tax liability in Minnesota should be measured by its tax in another state. Apportionment formulas do affect the competitiveness of a state's corporate income tax, and many other states have moved to single sales because they know it's a good economic development tool. And that's why, back in 2005, this legislature, on a bipartisan basis, passed legislation to change Minnesota's apportionment formula to sales-only apportionment. That legislation phased in sales-only apportionment over many years, and it became fully effective in 2014. The policy purpose for single sales is to increase Minnesota's competitiveness because the policy creates an incentive for businesses to invest here, expand facilities here, and hire employees here. Under the former apportionment formula, businesses were essentially penalized for expanding facilities or adding employees in Minnesota because doing so increased their corporate tax. Imposing a throwback rule would undo much of the benefit of single sales. It would discourage businesses from locating in Minnesota because any sales made from Minnesota into another state that doesn't have a corporate tax or they don't have nexus would be considered sales in Minnesota. And as was mentioned previously, this would be, I think, especially burdensome to small and mid-sized Minnesota businesses that are trying to increase their sales to other states. It would be a disincentive for them to stay here and grow here in Minnesota and sell their products out of the state. So thank you for your time. Be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Ms. Larson? Thank you.
And good luck tonight for the SPUDs, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Ms. Larson. And while you mentioned that, I don't see Representative McDonald here today. And I was watching that game. He's in more. Yes. They were, Delano was up 2-0 in that game early on, and it wound up 6-4 Greenwood.
You notice who's not here.
That's what I was wondering about, yeah, in mourning. Ms. Cadoon, welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Beth Cadoon. I represent the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. I'll keep my comments brief as it was covered in the previous testifiers, but this change would really undermine the key provisions of Minnesota's tax code that were enacted on a bipartisan basis decades ago with the purpose of encouraging companies to locate, invest, add jobs, and locate their headquarters in Minnesota, as well as to encourage and enable them to sell their goods both nationally and internationally. I want to really emphasize the point that was made by Ms. Larson, which is this bill would primarily impact small and mid-sized companies, as well as corporate farmers, who have all of their property, investments, and jobs in Minnesota, but who sell in the rest of the nation. If Minnesota were to adopt this throwback rule, this will greatly increase their taxation, resulting in making it harder to do business in the state and keep those jobs and investments here. And it was highlighted in your nonpartisan House research paper analysis of this that this change would really have little effect on those large corporations. As I mentioned, this is going to impact those smaller and mid-sized companies more. I would really strongly oppose this bill and encourage you to do the same. Thank you.
Any questions for Ms. Cadoon? If not, thank you very much. Before we go to members, anyone from the audience that would like to testify for or against House File 1822 as amended? All right, members. Question, Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This does seem like it's a kind of a slippery slope to head down. As we know here in the Tax Committee, every state struggles with its complexity of its tax system and prioritizing one tax over another, no taxing here, increasing the taxation here. And because another state chooses how to use out-of-state revenue in its tax policy seems to be something that we ought to allow them to do. Otherwise, if Minnesota thinks, well, we'll tax all of Minnesota residents and companies, whether they have business out of state or not, that is the same as if they're in-state taxes, kind of takes away the responsibility of other states in dealing with their own tax situation. And so we can say, well, it's free money to Minnesota because we're just taxing them the way that they would be here. But the sale and the residents of that state are the ones that are deciding the taxing on revenue and everything distributed in that particular state. So I do think that this is probably not where we go. Otherwise, we could be down into the future taxing people that earn money in other states the same as it is here, because after all, this is the state that they live in, and so therefore they ought to be taxed the same whether they earn income in another state or not. So I do think that we're kind of running down a rabbit hole here and kind of a slippery slope that we probably don't want to do. So I would certainly vote in opposition to this bill.
Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, just a general comment. I mean, I think corporations and businesses are not taxpayers. They are tax collectors. And I think this bill kind of really defines the fact that, you know, essentially what you're going to do is say, go to that other state, make that sale, collect that tax from those folks, and bring it back here. Well, I remember, you know, the debate with NAFTA, and I remember Ross Perot saying, you know, we're going to have this big sucking sound of our economics going down to Mexico. And, you know, this bill essentially flies in the face of that, as we have economic development, we have businesses doing well, we have jobs being created in the state, we have products being produced. And that profit and that money comes to the state, and then it will encourage, you know, that investment here in Minnesota. And I think if we're going out there and letting us not be competitive in this particular area by going out and finding market share across the country, and we're disadvantaging Minnesota businesses because of that, we're going to be opening the door for competition in other parts of the country that maybe do not tax in this direction. And I understand it's $50 million or $60 million, but, you know, I think this is the wrong way to go. I think, you know, because they do simply collect taxes, I think we should be going in the direction of, you know, lessening the burden on Minnesotans as well, not just, you know, giving, instead of trying to equalize in the playing field across the country, but lowering them here.
Other comments? If not, Representative Loeffler, any closing comment.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think this is an issue of fairness. Companies that do a lot of business with the federal government have an advantage over companies that don't happen to have those same products or services or are large enough to be able to get through that federal purchasing process, which is complicated. And it also says that companies that are large enough and sophisticated enough to get clever tax attorneys can structure where they invest resources and where they base their sales in a way that avoids taxes that other similar companies in Minnesota pay. And so I think we really need to look at some of the equity issues here. I think that it's a fair consideration that we ought to continue to look at.
Thank you very much. So Representative Loeffler renews her motion to lay over House File 1822 as amended for possible inclusion in the tax omnibus bill. Thank you very much. Final bill of the week, House File 870. Chair Davids.
No.
Have we killed a bill yet?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. I'll move House File 870 for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill.
Chair Davids moves House File 870, and there is no amendment, so please present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. House File 870 is a very straightforward, simple bill. It simply gets rid of the EMT on businesses. This was in last year's tax bill, agreed to on a bipartisan basis, and I know we can't bring the executive in this, but if we could, I would say that Governor Walz supports this and it's in his budget, but since we can't say that, I won't. It's a very straightforward bill. I'd stand for questions. Oh, I got some testifiers.
Very good. So very those who would like to testify, if you would come down, and I have Ms. Larson and Ms. Cadoon.
Thank you again, Mr. Chairman, members. Jill Larson with Minnesota Business Partnership. As Chair David said, it's a pretty simple bill. The federal TCJA repealed the federal alternative minimum tax. Minnesota was just a handful of states that had their own AMT. I think now there are only four states that have their own AMT. And tax practitioners tell us that if Minnesota were to retain their AMT, it would be very difficult to calculate it because the federal AMT is gone. And studies have shown that the AMT, one of the reasons why the AMT was repealed at the federal level is because studies have shown that the cost to collect it and administer it was sometimes even more than the money that it brought in. So kind of the squeeze wasn't worth the juice. So we would ask that this be included as part of your tax conformity bill to make it more simple for companies to file their taxes. It is bipartisan. The Senate author is Senator Rest, and the governor does have it in his proposal. So we ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Larson? Very good. Ms. Cadoon.
Good morning, Mr. Chair.
Good morning.
Looks like I'm doing cleanup today on testimony, so I'll continue with that. Beth Cadoon with the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. We certainly urge your support and thank Representative Davids for bringing this forward again this year. This really is a necessary change to reduce the complexity and cost of administrating our tax system as well as those taxpayers trying to comply with it. The federal, our AMT is really based on a lot of those federal definitions, federal forms. So I can't imagine the complexity of trying to now continue this AMT when it's being repealed at the federal level. So we do urge your support, and this would help as you're looking to adopt those base broadeners on federal tax conformity. This would be a small piece to actually then offset some of those tax increases as well. Thank you.
Any questions or comments for Ms. Cadoon? Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the audience right now that would like to testify for or against House File 870? Any comments from members? Representative Loeffler.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I can appreciate some of the complexity issues when we, if we were to stay separate from the federal government. At the same time, I can remember when politically the forces were to create this, and I think we're kind of in that same situation right now, and that was when it became public that some of the biggest, most successful companies in our nation, some of the car manufacturing companies, others, were not paying any taxes at all. And there was a real public backlash that here I am making a modest income of $35,000, $45,000, and I'm paying taxes. And this company that's reporting, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars or billions of dollars of profits isn't paying anything because they're got the tax lawyers to work with it. And so the alternative minimum tax was imposed and created so that everyone who is successful contributes something to the society that helped create that success through education, through providing roads, through providing the situation in which their success could take place. And recently there's been a lot of press about we're back to that, you know, with Amazon and some of these big companies that we know are some of the biggest in the world are not paying any taxes, even though the profits are recognized. And so I think if we remove this, as the federal government has, I think the public will be back one more time saying we want everyone, including the most successful, to contribute. And so I think we need to weigh that as we move forward.
Mr. Clayman, I might ask, and before I go to Chair Davids here, is I was just reading an article, I think, in USA Today, where they're not say the company exactly. It was one of the car manufacturers. But with the net operating loss, like during the recession, they had lost like $80 billion. But since then, their profits had been about $70 billion. But because of the net operating loss, that would be able to be carried forward, they still didn't have an income tax liability. Would the AMT apply to that type of a situation where the net operating loss, which is in law, is, you know, higher than what they have yet made in profits? Would you be able to, would you apply the AMT to that if there would be one right now on the federal level?
Mr. Chair and members, so I think the question is whether the net operating loss deduction would be treated as a tax preference under the now federal repeal corporate AMT. I guess off the top of my head, I can't answer that right now, but I can certainly check that pretty quickly and get back to the committee.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. Chair Davids and then Representative Peters.
Well, thank you very much. And I believe it was Amazon that paid zero taxes. So just for the record, Greg Davids' companies paid more taxes at Amazon. I guess I've arrived. just a thought. So... But I would ask maybe for nonpartisan House research, if we don't do this, if we put a good tax bill together bipartisan, it's in there, and then Governor Walz vetoes it. I'm very familiar with that scenario. If that happened and we leave this on the books as it is, how would we administer it? How would the Department of Revenue administer it?
Mr. Clayman.
Mr. Chair, Representative Davids, I believe that the state would, have to come up with its own state system for administering the corporate AMT, because the federal corporate AMT has been repealed, you're not going to have that as a reference anymore for the federal or for the state AMT.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just was going to refer back to the discussion about how and why AMT was created and for the purpose. And I want to just remind this body that business, just as all of us, we're here wanting to make a profit of some sort. And that profit gets distributed to somebody. And somebody then takes that profit into their own income and then pays taxes on it. So when you charge taxes as AMT on this, and then the profit of that goes, and that profit pays that and the profit also goes to the individuals. It's almost like double dipping there. But I do want to remind people that there are taxes being paid on those particular profits in one form or another in almost all cases. There may be a few that aren't, but not very many.
Representative Wofford.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Representative Petersburg. That might be true for the ordinary size companies, but the mega size companies, where you have single owners with incredible stock holdings, you know, the companies that started in a garage and now are multi-billionaire, billion global companies, that appreciation gets inherited at the basis without paying capital gains tax to the next generation. And some of those really, really rich founders and corporate executives that get those really large ownership stakes, they couldn't, I don't know, they could find a way to spend all of that in their lifetime. And so that's, I think, for most people that might, most companies that might be true, but I think for some of these that are like Amazon that the Mr. Representative Davids mentioned, the numbers are just phenomenally large.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Petersburg.
I think my name was mentioned there, and I think that that may be true, but not here in Minnesota. We still have the estate tax, so those that are that large, they're going to pay the estate tax, and almost all of those companies also are publicly traded as well. So there are tax stockholders all over that are paying tax. So I'm not sure that's quite equitable. So thank you.
Mr. Klayman has some information.
Mr. Chair, just to follow up on the net operating loss deduction question, it looks like at the federal level, and I'll correct myself later if it happens to be wrong, but there is a deduction under the corporate AMT at the federal level for net operating losses. We actually disallow that at the state level, and then we apply our own net operating loss deduction. We only allow 90%. Sort of similar to how we do the net operating loss calculation under the regular tax.
Any other comments, questions? Hearing none, any closing statements there?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The thing about the net operating loss, I'm not really familiar with that. I've never had one. And I think Amazon, isn't that worth half what it used to be? I think it's half what it used to be. So very straightforward bill, members. I think it needs to be done to clean the tax code up. I can't say again that Governor Wall supports this, but he does. And I appreciate your support. And I renew my motion that House File 870 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill.
Very good. So Chair Davids renews his motion to lay over House File 870 for possible inclusion into the tax omnibus bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members,
on Tuesday, we will be talking about the Governor Walz's tax bill that should be introduced today. And so the Department of Revenue will be here to talk about that bill. We'll have time for members' questions and comments. And then on Wednesday, it will be a day of testimony from folks. And then more member discussion if need be, and if we have to carry into Thursday for members discussion and so forth, we can do that. And we're also looking at hearing some very exciting technical bills next Thursday. So that's next week. So members, thank you for Representative Becker Finn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would be remiss if I did not mention that the White Bear Lake hockey team is playing in about 2.5 hours. So
Bears.
Had to mention that the Bears are in the tournament this year.
Good luck to the Bears.
Who are they playing?
I don't even remember.
It doesn't really matter.
No, right.
They're cheering for the Bears. There you go. I know they're not playing the Moorhead Spuds. That's
no, they definitely are not.
Right, Representative Lee, they're not. Chair Davids.
Mr. Chairman, I think we should keep Person McDonald in our thoughts.
Yes, Delano did. Well, with all of that, good luck to all the remaining hockey teams this weekend, and the tax committee is adjourned.